Hello and welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner, powered by ComOne. I'm your host, Matt Shear. This week, we will hear from Humboldt Wildcats head cross-country coach Joe Hoagland and Humboldt head football coach Derek Elman. The Humboldt cross-country boys and girls teams hosted the 2025 Humboldt Invitational on Monday at Joe Sheldon Park in Humboldt. The girls' program taking first and the boys' program placing ninth. I sat down with Hoagland on the team's performances this week and their upcoming meet in Algona on Monday.
I thought we got out, competed really well on Monday afternoon. It was kind of sneaky hot for the day, so I think times weren't quite what maybe our kids wanted, but I thought we got out, competed well, and competed hard against the other teams that showed up too. And it's always great to come away with a win at the home meet, so not a lot we can complain about on Monday.
Girls team pulls out the victory at home. Some good performances on the girls side. Just thoughts on their run.
Yeah, they just are clicking right now. Avery obviously up front right now is just running really, really, really well. Aubrey is right off her tail. And then Bren is just continuing with her great senior year, placing in the top five at pretty much every meet we've gone to. So a lot to be happy with them. Macy's really clicking coming along. And then that pack of Kinley, Elsie, and Kimberly are really starting to close the gap, which is going to be huge once we come down to championship season here in a couple of weeks.
On the boys' side, what did you see from their performances?
Henry just continues to run really well. He's competing hard up at the front, finishing really strong. If you look at his times from last year to this year, he's cutting off about a minute at every course we go to, so it's just fun to see that. And then our just this nice pack in the middle all running around those same times together, just competing well and helping each other finish better every race. The guys are really clicking. That's nice to see the work they're putting in pay off in the long run.
Avery Fisher moves up one spot, ranked 14th as of the latest poll for individuals in Class 3A. What have you seen from her to continue to make strides here in her sophomore year as she sits inside that top 15 now with runners across the state?
For not running last year, I think there was a couple of weeks there where she was just trying to figure out, okay, what is this whole sport, this whole cross-country thing? And now she's just attacking the workouts every day. Her, Bryn, and Aubrey are just clicking along every day. Every workout is just phenomenal. And then when she gets to the meets, she's just not afraid to go out and just take that race. There's not enough I can say about how well she's adjusted this year. She's just having an amazing season.
Sitting at the end of September, where do you think both of these teams are currently with their progress throughout the season?
Oh, I couldn't be happier with where we're at. The girls are really starting to click it all together. I'm hoping at that conference meet, we're competing right up there at the top with the Clear Lakes of the world, hoping to come home with that conference title. And then on the guy side, I just want to see us continue to improve every day. You know, the meet placing might not always be where we want it to be, but at least when we go and look at the results and look at that next level, we're seeing the progress and the work they're putting in paying off.
A lot of off days until the next meet that you had this past week going into Monday in Algona. What has the week looked like in preparation for that next meet?
Yeah, no, we were finally able to get a couple good workouts in a week. We've been using a lot of the meet days as our workout days just because of how the schedules worked. So it was nice this week to get in a couple good workouts, kind of control our own pace and all of our workouts and everything we're putting in, and then get to go and show what that looks like on Monday.
And then, Coach, you're heading to River Road Golf Club coming up on Monday up in Algona, you know, another familiar course for the program. Just thoughts going in. What's the message to both teams as you get ready to run on Monday?
Well, the conference meet will be up in Algona this year, so it's going to kind of be a nice preview for us for that meet coming up. And my message is going to be, don't be afraid to make a mistake. Like, go try something, then that way you can correct it at that conference meet. I mean, it'd be nice to all go out and put out these great times on Monday, and I hope we do. But if we don't, at least we can learn from it for the conference meet when we're competing for the big prize in that conference championship.
Coach, thank you for taking some time. I want to wish you best of luck for the upcoming meet in Algona on Monday.
Hey, thanks. Go Cats.
The Humboldt football team fell in their district opener and homecoming football game 21-14 to Webster City Friday night. I caught up with Hellman after the loss.
It's tough when Webster City can do what they do. You know, that's what they want. They want long drives. And, you know, we talked in the pregame, things we had to avoid is to get into those long drive situations. And our kids are working their tails off on defense, but it's hard when you have seven guys all coming to the same spot, running that single wing, you know, and when you have big offensive linemen like they do, we've got to find a way to fight through that pressure. And we got some great stops. Our kids did a great job of reading their keys. I felt like, you know, when we go to watch the film, we're going to see our kids reading their keys really, really well. But I think that the problem just remains that if they get too much push, it's going to turn, you know, a 3-yard play into a 5-yard play, or a 1-yard play into a 3-yard play. And then they just eat that clock. You know, they snap the ball every single time at about 2 seconds left on the clock. And, you know, they've done that for years. And, you know, Coach Howard, going back to Sigourney Kyoto, did the same thing. You know, so it's what they want to do. And we got pulled into their game, because if they get ahead of you, then it's constantly playing chase, you know, and we got stuck having to do that a little bit, you know. And, you know, we came out of halftime and we had a good drive, but it stalled out. And you can't have drives, especially drives that are going to, you know, potentially tie the game up. You can't have drives like that stall out. I feel like offensively we were so close, you know. That first play, we thought we could take a shot on some play action and throw it back to Cash, and Cash was open. It's just a little bit overthrown, you know, but man, that would have been a touchdown right off the bat. And we had a couple of just like ill-timed drops that ended drives, and had a couple of just opportunities that we weren't able to take advantage of. And in close games, you got to be really good at taking advantage of opportunities.
The response after Webster City scores that first touchdown to then go 80 yards for a touchdown and a big play. Mm-hmm. The Twins out there, Jackson to Chase, 69 yards.
Yep.
What are you seeing from that connection?
It was a great thrown ball, great route, you know, hitch and go, and I loved it too, because Jackson saw it. We had hitch, just regular hitches called, and Jackson saw him up tight, so he called the hitch and go, signaled that out, and it's great when our quarterback can read the field like that, and threw the ball up and had one for his brother to run under and catch.
14-7 at halftime. You go into the locker room after you get the ball there towards the end, and time running out for the end of the first half before you got it to start the second half. What was the message down by 7 at the half against Webster City?
You know, we felt real confident that we were going to come out and get a score. You know, we knew we were going to have to go 80. They got a tremendous kicker. Their kid can put the ball in the end zone pretty much every time. So we knew we were going to have to go 80, and we had a couple of big plays. And then, you know, just kind of fizzled out our drive inside the 30 there. And then they're able to get a couple of big plays and march it down and score again, and it makes it tough. You know, we didn't have the ball, I don't think, again in the third quarter, and then they scored a couple of minutes into the fourth quarter, and we get a score right away, and what we thought was a stop. And it, you know, I hate to be that guy, but it sure looked like a pretty cheap roughing the kicker call, or roughing the punter call, you know. And then all of a sudden they're fourth and two, and what do they do on fourth and two? They go for it pretty much every time. And, you know, we had great penetration, and it looked like it was a super close play, but he was able to lean forward and, you know, get the first down by just a short amount, and then really nothing we could do at that point just because of where the clock was.
Post game, 21-14, tough loss. What was the post game message to the group here tonight after a hard fought game?
I just told the kids, you know, there's 10 adults on the sidelines that always have their back, and they're going to be there for them all the time, and are going to do everything they can to help prepare them for the next game. We want to put these kids in a position each week that we think is going to help them be successful, and they have to make sure that they love the heck out of each other, that they go enjoy their time together, because, you know, one of the coaches made the comment, it's short, and it's also what makes high school football special. It means a ton to these kids, and, you know, a game like this where, you know, it could have been close going the other way, you know, but it means a lot, and it hurts, but we've got to learn from it and move on. And, you know, to be back-to-back with Webster City and Algona, that's, you know, kind of in the North Central Conference, you know, those rivalries, that's kind of what you live for a little bit. But we've got to have a short-term memory and know that windshield's bigger in the rear view, and we've got to get right back on it and, you know, have 48 hours to learn and prepare, and then get into film on Monday and have ourselves ready for, you know, another great high school football game. And it's crazy because, you know, we're already halfway through the season, you know, over halfway through the season now, and we've got to just stay focused on what's ahead of us and know that, you know, we are super, super close. And you know, again, it's another opportunity to get better and go play a fun football game next Friday against Algona.
Well, Coach, we need to talk about something from last week that we actually failed to mention post-game show. With that win against Ballard, you became the fourth head coach in Humboldt history, 250 wins. What does that statement mean to you, being here 8 years, where this program is, even though you had the tough loss tonight, now just kind of looking at 50 wins?
There's no place I'd rather be. There's nothing I'd rather do. There's no job, in my opinion, that's bigger than right here in Humboldt. I love what I do. I love the people I work with. I love the community. The community support is top-notch. You know, I had the opportunity to, you know, have Greg as an AD for me, and, you know, another guy who's got a big chunk of wins here at Humboldt. It's special to have a guy like him who's still around our program. It's special to be around these guys that have coached here a long time. You know, there's no way it gets done without great assistant coaches, great middle school coaches, a great community behind you, and kids that are willing to do everything you ask, and they love the heck out of playing in the blue and gold. And coaching at Humboldt's special. Coaching at Humboldt's the best job ever, I think, and I have a ton of fun doing it. Yeah, nights like this are tough, but it's because the kids are so awesome, because the coaches are so awesome, this community is so awesome, you know, you start kind of maybe dwelling on a little bit or feel like, you know, shoot, you kind of, I kind of gave that one away, and I hate doing that for our kids and our community. So tonight, yeah, it sucks. It's cool to be a part of, you know, Humboldt football history, but, you know, we want to do everything we can always for these kids, week in and week out.
Next week, it's the longest, most games played in a rivalry, as it'll be the 109th meeting all time with Humboldt and Algona. To have to wipe this game away and go right back to work again with Monday with film. Just tell me the thoughts on taking on an Algona team as you head up to the road now for another two-game road trip.
I'm biased, but I don't know that there's a better rivalry in high school football in the state of Iowa than Algona and Humboldt. You know, just 20, 25 miles north or 20-whatever miles north, and just that short trip up there, short trip down here for them. I got to believe that's one of the longest rivalries in the state as well. You know, just year in and year out playing each other. It's awesome to see, you know, the blue and gold go up there and face the old red and black. And so it's a special rivalry. It's something that's pretty awesome to be part of. And I think, you know, it's one of those that our community really gets behind and their community gets behind. So that's what makes it even better. It'll probably be the biggest crowd of the year for either team, you know. And so Humboldt outgoing, it can't get much better than that.
Coach, final thoughts from tonight. And you talk about crowds. It was pretty packed here this evening for homecoming.
It was standing room only, it looked like, in the stands. And, you know, nothing but love for fans out there. You know, sorry I couldn't bring this one home for us on homecoming. I hate that. But nothing but love for what you guys do for us in the stands. You know, keep doing it, keep bringing it. These kids deserve it. These kids love it, and they feed off it.
Well, Coach, we look forward to seeing you coming up against Algona next week, and best of luck the next week of practice.
And as always, thanks for all you do, Matt.
With that, we will conclude this week's edition of Coach's Corner, powered by Com1. I'm your host, Matt Shear. Tune in next week for another edition of Coach's Corner.